So this morning we're going to take a brief break from our sermon series through the Psalms as we get an opportunity to worship in a new way and to share an experience with our brothers and sisters in the faith down at Tippecanoe. As we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful for the gift of your word. We are grateful that as we gather on Sunday morning, that there are millions upon millions of other Christians around the world who also gather on this day to do the same thing that we are here to do this morning. We are not alone. We are not an island. But we are part of a body that is far larger than we realize. And so as we gather into this place, Lord, as we prepare to hear your word proclaimed, we ask that your spirit, the same spirit that will be present in every church, we ask that this your spirit come not only into this place, but into our lives, that our eyes and our ears might be opened, and that our hearts might be softened to receive your message for us. We pray these things in your name. Amen. The scripture lesson, there are two scripture lessons this morning. The first is found in 1 Peter, starting in chapter 2, verse 19. It says this, "For it is a credit to you, if being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. For those who desire life and desire to see good days, let them keep their tongues from evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Let them seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Our second reading this morning is taken from the books of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Listen to how our story is told. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, The Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the way the Spirit speaks to the church. Thanks be to our God. Okay, so once again, remember we're in Eastertide. I'm speaking to Tippi. I'm going to walk through this just like I would today in our sacred space, but the word is speaking to all of us. You know, as I've listened to you all over these last many days and weeks, and actually over these last many, many years that we've been together, there is one thing that you have consistently identified, one thing that draws you to Tippi, and it isn't me. What it is a sense of community, a belonging, where the fellowship is real, where people have warm hearts, where there is trust in sharing your real self, no filtering needed. Even when times are hard, when your heart is broken, hard times, in which maybe you are opened to the more and you need support in your newness. There is a trust in sharing your hard and your good times. There is a joy in sharing ourselves. You don't have to hide here. And what we do here together really matters. We don't ask you to waste not even one moment of your precious time, but rather invite you to invest your time in things that make a difference to you and in the world. Here, there is real prayer, peace. You can feel it. It seems soaked into the walls and suspended in the air. You can feel it in quiet spaces, in the words we say and in the words we don't say. You can feel it within weekly agape on Monday nights and monthly communions on Sunday. Feel it in the worshipful work we're doing here together. There is real devotion here, reflected in our tears and our laughter, devotion flowing from our hearts. The light of community seems to eke out through the very cracks around the windows and the doorways, and it's beginning to glow our neighborhood. Awe. Awesome. Awestruck. Awful. Awe. Awe comes upon everyone because many wonders and signs are being done by the apostles. That would be you and me. Genuine community. Well, it's contagious because of all that it offers and because of our human need to belong, to connect, our need to be there, to be for there to be something more, our need to do something more with and for others. Oh, we are made to need each other, and we can gather safely and deeply right here. And we know my healing affects your healing. Yours affects mine. Community heals. We know that we want to come as often as possible because there's a deep knowing that being here is important because you never know if this may be the very Sunday that you'll need us, need me here for your healing. And I know that you'll be here when I need you for mine. A salve of sorts for life's little and large sufferings. That's what we are as we come together. Salve, healing, growing power, indeed are one. See, and boy, Crossroads knows this. Life is hard, and there is so much suffering. But as Chris shared, the suffering isn't the point. Integrity is. Compassion is. And Jesus had it. He knew suffering as a human being betrayed, but he didn't give in to it. Instead, he joined his suffering to the suffering of the world, and so there find greater compassion and integrity of purpose than he ever could have known on his own. Oh, he didn't play by their rules, the world's rules, the temple's rules. He broke the patterns. He broke that rule, an eye for an eye, and started a new way to be free. And we are not to play by those same rules, doing evil for evil, causing suffering. You know, that's our golden rule anyways, isn't it? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We find our integrity when we say no to violence. No to being a part of what's wrong rather than what's right. No to returning evil for evil. Rage, the pain triggered and remembered, it can morph into courage, as Jesus showed us. Courage. That's when we live each day with the whole of our life story and all the wisdom that's found there. Every day. Just awful community helps us remember our courage as we gather in a safe space to express our joy as well as our brokenness and sadness, our need, releasing the energy of sadness and fear and joy and anger in life-giving ways. Not by what we think, but how we choose to live. Sometimes we may be humiliated, confused, suffering, and need much support, and that's when it matters most. Coming together as community, trusting each other so healing can happen. The pain is real, and we need each other. Life-giving community. Tender, open heart and humble mind, empathy, love, the verb, gratitude and generosity, desire for real life, no deceit, praying, communicating. That's biblical. Play and pray and eat and be generous for the common good. The common good, people first. Boy, that sounds good. And it is. Boy, it's a bunch easier to be that one community for the common good when you first come together, you know, sort of like that honeymoon effect. In the long run, much harder to have that staying power. It's easy in the beginning, in the excitement of what is new, whether it's a new love or a new family, a new job, a new home, a new meeting place, a new pastor, a new church. But then people being people, reality sets in. Or maybe I'd say unreality sets in. We seem to get mind-boggled and lose our way and take each other for granted and end up judging each other and losing our focus. And often, if we begin doing a little better, we forget how foundational and integral to that very better being part of true community is. We forget what it is that brought us together initially, the meaning of things. We forget the feel of that awe. In churches, I think it's perhaps perhaps that we're afraid of our own power to keep doing good, because it takes a lot of energy, doesn't it? And it takes a lot of vulnerability. It takes a lot of changing. It's so much easier to complain and focus on what's not going well. Or maybe we fear the loss of our power and position as new folk. Those newly saved from themselves start finding us and shaping us, maybe more Presbyterian than we are now. And so some of our long-timers may resist the demands of caring enough to grow ourselves along with them over and over again. We may become so well defended and begin to focus on personalities rather than ministry, rather than making meaning. We may be tempted to focus on the past or the future instead of being in the present moment, and so we begin to lose our way. But that earliest church, there was that brand new rush around them. Such joy. They were devoted to what they knew God could do in them, and how God empowered them to do for others toward the greater good, peace with justice. And they got it right. They broke the old patterns and they grew, not because they solicited anyone to come and join them in church, as much as it is that others saw what they were doing and being, saw the saving grace, and so they came because they wanted to. Now, what exactly were they doing? In awe, they saw wonders and signs happening all around them. They shared as they had awareness of someone's need. They spent time together, getting to really know and appreciate each other. They broke bread at each other's houses and played together and stayed together. They were glad and generous with each other, and they gave each other the benefit of the doubt, seeing what was right with each other instead of what was wrong with each other. They praised God and had goodwill toward all people, even the ones who didn't get it. You know, even the ones that they didn't really like that much. Can you see anyone here you don't really like that much? That's okay. We love the people we don't even like. They didn't go to church. They were the church. Where did the church go wrong? How do we lose that? Where do we go wrong? Well, sometimes too much togetherness makes us fuzzy, keeps us from focusing on what it is that we really care about. We can get enmeshed in the ways we do things and think about things, and so lose our ability to fully see and be honest with each other in kind ways. When the focus goes on to individual desires rather than on God and God's desires for all people, we begin to lose our way. We get it wrong, thinking we've got it right now. When we stop growing within, stop looking to reform ourselves and so then our community, when we become afraid of the future and remember the past to be better than it really was, and so don't ever really live in the present, we lose our way. This may say it better. Okay, Wiggle, I've been talking a long time. I got about 5 more minutes. This may say it better. How it may be folk experience the church today from the outside, the 21st century church. I'm going to rewrite Acts here. They devoted themselves to the traditions of their grandparents, to the meetings, to raising money, and to hanging on for dear life, no matter what may change around them. Everyone around was pretty indifferent to them, or worse, for no one could remember the last time they'd done anything worthy of attention that was really, truly helpful. The help most needed. And all the members, they lived in discordant silence, each one holding on to their firm opinions. Whatever they owned, they kept and shared only as much as they felt like sharing with people they felt like sharing it with. Anyone who was in real need never dare admit it. They valued order above all else. Order in worship, order in meetings, predictability in life, moderation in all things. They came to worship when they could. They stayed in their homes, except for brief and orderly visits with well-known friends or to do favorite projects. They thanked God that they were not like other people, especially people who live in big cities or in faraway places where tourists would never want to go. People in general had no opinion of them at all, or a bad opinion. Every day, their number decreased as God took away from them those who were being saved, God saving them from harming themselves. When I read the news, that's sort of the impression I get of the 21st century church. Why would anyone come to that church? Especially when it could be like this. They devoted themselves to the shared promptings of the Spirit that came to them through worshiping together. They devoted themselves to reflected Bible study, becoming aware of the worshipful work they were called to do within their own hearts. They devoted themselves to learning together about faith and the issues of the days and the needs of others and acting on them. They devoted themselves to fellowship, really caring about each other's lives, praying together and staying together and playing together. And everyone around them was in awe. All those acts of service in the community, so many people helped. All of them, young and old, lived in harmony, dissonant harmony, not all on the same note, but all singing, not going silent with each other. And no one held back from sharing the story of their lives or their stuff, giving freely what God had given to them. When anyone was in need, heads, hearts, and hands were joined, skills were offered, resources pooled, and pockets emptied. They all made worshiping together a priority. People in general liked what they saw, and every day their numbers grew as God added those who were being saved from themselves. The truth is, of course, that this church, Tippy Ann Crossroads, like all churches, we slide along a continuum between those two church scenarios because life is constantly changing and challenging, and most of us, you know, we don't mind changing, it's just that none of us wants to be fixed. And often when we go about changing things as a church, it feels like we're fixing people. And that's when we begin to resent change. And where do you see yourself, your faith community, when you sit it alongside this early church? Is your focus where you really want it to be? Will you let Crossroads' better self help you focus your day? Where is God inviting you to newly place your focus as you relax into the hope of new life, even when you have a broken, chipped heart that's newly opening? You devote yourself to being shaped by the living word. What would finally relax in you? What love and gratitude and generosity open in you? And what quality of life would you be surprised to find right there before your very own eyes in your very own life? We've been exploring the Holy Story these last many seasons of worship. We've been exploring our love stories. And we've come to know we are no longer trapped in that same old story we've been telling ourselves over and over again, that same old story we used to believe about ourselves. You know, the one the world is trying to convince you is true. We've been conditioned with a mindset prepared to deal with dead ends and half-truths and powerlessness and death, but we can change our mind. A reorientation of our thinking that results in a radical reorientation of our living. We can choose to live towards surprise endings. Wahoo! No church in their right mind would ever develop divine intervention and an urban garden and arts and science literacy camp. What are you, nuts? Surprise endings. When we allow holy, self-energizing love to reshape us, we are now the living word. And God is putting love in our hearts and decent thoughts in our heads and some iron in our spines. We are resurrected to something more than what is seen and what life seems. We are indeed shaped by the living word. And what word would that be? What word would that be? Love. What word would that be? You know, ultimately all there is. Ultimately all you need is love, love, love. All you need is love. Do, 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 do. All you need is love, love. Love is all you need. Love is all you need. Love is all you need.